note or not, we're going to sing it anyway.
What God wants, we discover that Satan also wants the same things. Satan wants what God wants. Satan wanted to be God. And so everything that God says, I want, that should be mine. Satan says, I want that. And so he is out to get the first things in our life because God wants them. I want to look at this theme and see what God wants and whom God wants. But let me take you through some verses here. In Exodus 13:1, we read that. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Exodus 22:29, Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits, and the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 19, All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 20. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem. And none shall appear before me empty. The word redeem means something given in place of or to buy back. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave his life in place of ours. He became our substitute when he died upon the cross for our sins. He also bought us back from the kingdom of darkness. He paid a very high purchase price for us. He paid with his precious blood. So he has redeemed us. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of thy seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 13. Because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Second Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. This verse marked the beginning of a return to tithing, giving the first fruits. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes, and giving the first fruits. In tithes and in offerings, the Lord answered back. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. James chapter 1 and verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. And just one more passage, Revelation chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If you noticed, God keeps saying over and over again, I want the first things. I want the first things in your life. And he wanted the first child. He wanted the first animal. He wanted the first of the crops. He wants us to keep our first love. He wants us to do our first works. Over and over again, the theme throughout the Bible is first things. What does God want? God wants the first things in our life. Now, because God wants those first things, Satan wants those first things as well. I want to look at some of those things in more detail this morning. Number one, as seen throughout the passage that we read from the book of Exodus, God wants the firstborn. God wants the firstborn child. Now, Satan especially wants the firstborn because God has said that the firstborn belongs to him. Now, there was one man that Satan wanted more than any other man who ever lived, and that was Adam. He wanted Adam because he was the first man that God had created. Satan wants all. I want you to understand that. He wants all of you this morning, but especially he wants those of you that are firstborn. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 3 talks about Reuben, and it gives a description of a firstborn. It says in Genesis 49 and verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. He said, Reuben, because you are firstborn, you are to be my might, you are to be the beginning of my strength, and you are to be dignified, and you are to be powerful. That is a description of what the firstborn is to be like. Unfortunately, Satan got to Reuben, and Reuben did not have these characteristics. Reuben became as unstable as water, and the scripture said that he did not excel. But the firstborn has such great potential. You know that of the first 23 astronauts, 21 were firstborn. More than 50% of the United States presidents have been firstborn. In the Bible, think of how Satan fought to get the firstborn. There was Esau and Aaron and Amnon and probably Peter, who he desired to sift as wheat. All of them were firstborn. Why does Satan want the firstborn child so bad? Because he knows that if he gets the firstborn, he is more likely to get the others. Because younger children follow the example of their older brothers and sisters. I often think about the rich man in hell. He was probably the elder brother, because the scripture tells us that he had five brothers that he was very concerned about. He had lived his life without thinking about God. He had lived his life alone without God, and he wound up, and one day he found himself in hell. And he found himself in great torment. And so he asked Abraham if he could send someone to warn his brothers about this terrible place. He was concerned that they were going to follow his example right to the pit of hell. And he didn't want that conscience on that mark on his conscience for all eternity, knowing that his brothers led him to such a place. God wants the firstborn. If you are here today and you are firstborn, God has a special plan for your life. God wants you, but Satan wants you too. And Satan knows the potential that you have. And because God wants you so bad, Satan is going to work extra hard to get at you. You need to be aware of that this morning. God wants the firstborn. Number two, God wants the first part of life. I want to encourage you children here today to give your lives to the Lord. Just give yourself totally to the Lord right now. As a child, give yourself to the Lord. Don't sell wild oats and then come back to the Lord. Well, you hear all these testimonies, and they're thrilling testimonies about how people, you know, they went out and they did all these things. They did drugs and they got involved in immorality, and they came back to the Lord at a later point in their life. Yes, I'm glad that they came back to the Lord, and the Lord can and restore those years that the cankerworm eats. But it's much better to serve God and start as a child and never look back. You listen to those people who give those testimonies, and they will tell you they have one regret in life. They regretted that they didn't serve Jesus all their life. I have never heard a person give a testimony and say, you know, I'm glad I went out there and sold wild oats. I'm glad I was backslidden for 20, 30 years. I've never heard a testimony like that. The only testimonies I ever heard was, I'm so sorry that I wasted all that time. Give your life to the Lord and never look back. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. See, when you get older, you start having more troubles, don't you? Those of you that are older, you know the body starts to give out. Your body starts falling apart. You lose your teeth. Your mind is not as sharp as it once was. You walk into a room. I know this might be hard for young people to understand, but you walk into a room and then you stop and you think, why did I walk in here? You know, I came in here for something, but I can't remember what it was. So you go back to the room that you were originally in where you had the thought, and you hope you can think of what it was that you needed from that other room. Your mind starts to go. It doesn't work like it used to. Your ears. You don't hear as well as you used to. I'm at the point where I've got one of those phones where I can turn up the volume. I'm sitting there and I'm turning up that volume all the time. I can't use my ordinary cordless phone anymore. I just can't hear people. So I get on this phone and I turn up the volume so that I can hear. Your ears don't work as good as they used to when you get older. Your legs, your arms don't work like they used to. Give God the first part of your life. Give Him your life while you have some strength. Don't wait until your body's wasted and your strength is gone. Give Lord the first part of your life. Give Him the best part. Satan wants the first part of your life as well. You know, I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons why there's abortion. How many of those babies that are aborted are firstborn? How many of those babies are born to mothers who don't want to ruin their lives by raising a child? They have no time. They have other things on their mind. They have their own lives to live. Number of those babies that are aborted are firstborn babies. Most child training takes place in the first part of life. And why are there so many temptations for young people? Because Satan knows that if he can get you while you are young, he is more likely to mess up the rest of your life. It's that plain. It's that simple. And many people have messed up their life. And yes, they got saved later on, but their life was a mess because of the sin that they had gotten into when they were younger. Give the Lord the first part of your life. Number three, God wants the first part of the day. First part of the day. Let me read some scriptures here. And you can decide for yourself whether or not God wants the first part of your day. Genesis 22:3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Job chapter 1 and verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually on a regular basis. Every day Job would get up early in the morning and pray for his children. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. This is where Hannah was hoping for a son. Remember, in great desperation, she went to the temple and prayed for a son, prayed for a child to be born, but specifically a son. And when the priest saw her, she was of such anguish of spirit that he thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk. She was in earnest prayer, but she started out on that journey early in the morning, and God rewarded her. Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. I have to admit, this is hard for me because I have never been a morning person. Never. And when I went to college, I became more of a night person than ever. And this is difficult for me, but I see that God wants us to rise up early and to seek Him and give Him the first part of the day. And you know, I've discovered that if you give God the first part of the day, the rest of the day seems to go better. The rest of the day goes better. Give God the first part. Getting up early and spending time with the Lord sets the stage for the whole day. Number four, God wants the first part of the week, the first day of the week. God wants the first day of the week. Second. There are many other things that we could have talked about this morning as far as first things. But these are a few that stood out to me. Seven of them, really. God wants the firstborn. God wants the first part of life. God wants the first part of every day. God wants the first day of each week. Will you give it to Him? Will you make a commitment? Lord, I'll be in your church. I'll be in your house on Sunday to give you that day, that holy Sabbath, that Lord's day. God wants you to keep and remember and believe the first verse of the Bible. Don't be deceived by the false philosophies of our day. Give God the first part of your tithe and give God your first love. I know that this is a tall order. And I'm not going to ask you how many of you will do it. But I will ask you this. If God gives you the grace to do it, as God gives you the grace, how many of you will say, I purpose then, as God gives me the desire and power to do it, I purpose then to give God the first things. Would you raise your hand up to sacrifice to Him? Up and down. Amen. Amen. The first things, they belong to God anyway. And you will find that there is such a blessing that comes. You don't lose anything by giving God the first things. You get so much more in return. Father, you saw those hands today, and we thank you for the commitments, Lord, that we can make in this new year, of this new century, of this new millennium, to give you the first things in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would take the things that we give you and that you would bless them, you would use them for your purposes, that they would be sanctified and hallowed, dedicated to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to move into the communion service, so if I could have the men come forward today. We will get ready to hand out communion. Let me again remind you that this is something the disciples did on the first day of the week. It's something that they carried out. They broke bread. The first day of the week, they celebrated communion. And remember, as we celebrate communion, we are celebrating the death of Jesus, but also we look back to the time of the cross, and we saw that he rose from the dead, and we are honoring him in his resurrection. We are meeting on a resurrection Sunday, a resurrection day, to honor him for his resurrection and look forward to the day when we also will break the bands of death and mortality to be raised to eternal life. Let's just have a word of prayer, and then the men will go ahead and pass these communion emblems out. Father, we thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for Jesus and what he has done for us and what he means to us. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And though we believe in you, even though we were dead, yet shall we live. We thank you for that life. We thank you for your death, for your redeeming power, how you brought us back from the kingdom of darkness, purchased us with your precious blood. You paid the full price for the penalty for our sins, and you set us free. We thank you for that. Help us to remember as we dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you the same night which the Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brother Lowell, would you ask the blessing on the bread this morning, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've done, for your sacrifice, for your life, for your resurrection. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this bread as we take in remembrance of all the things you have done for us in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. Let's eat together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. You're willing to be even betrayed by your friend and companion. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you went through for us. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Bob Shackleton, would you ask a blessing on the cup this morning?
Father, we thank you for this, the cup. We thank you for the commemoration of the blood that was shed at the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the things that were accomplished that day and by your life and by your death. By the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. Thank you for this experience today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's drink of the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise Lord. Thank you for your blood, your redeeming blood. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Yes, if you'd pass your cups to the middle, please, we'll collect them. In closing, let's stand, let's sing the doxology. We don't do that very often. Let's do that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. 399 if you need it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. God bless you.